Welcome back to EAA Radio. This is Magneto Mel. It is 10:47 a.m., and I'm joined right now with another member of that administration that works at CAMI, the Civil Aeromedical Institute. Aerospace Medical Institute, Mr. Eric Simpson. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing great, Mel. How are you?
I'm good. And what Eric does is works with a team of people to provide physiology training and survival training to pilots and general aviation through a series of courses. So you can come in and why don't you tell us what you can come in and do and what it's all about?
Okay, well, it's basically there's a team of six of us. We're all prior military, so we've started out doing our physiology training for the Air Force for five of the guys and myself being the only Navy, and we've basically now transitioned all that information over to the FAA, and we provide physiology training. Our classes in Oklahoma City range up to about 18 people. It's the capacity of our altitude chamber, and we spend about two-thirds of a day looking at human factors issues related to flight that would also impact the onset rate of hypoxia and performance in the cockpit, such as hydration, nutrition. We look at fatigue and other factors. And then the afternoon portion, we spend about an hour in a altitude chamber, allowing the students to have that kind of an extension of the classroom, as you will, and just to take what they learned and put it into hands-on, seeing what hypoxia feels like. Our thought is that if they recognize hypoxia in the aircraft happening, they can take corrective action. If they don't know what it feels like, if they've only heard about it, well, then they're going to be guessing, and they may not react or respond correctly to the situation. So that's our goal, is to let them feel it, understand it, and have a real appreciation for the danger.
Now, hypoxia is one of the physiologies that this course contends with, is that not?
Correct. It's one human factors issue that we worry about. It's lack of oxygen to the tissues. If you look in a medical dictionary, that's what it says. We're more worried about the brain being the major tissue that allows you to function, fly proficiently, and even to see well. One of the things we do in our altitude chamber is we even show pilots that at altitudes 5,000 feet above normal field elevation at nighttime, when you have poor visibility, the lack of oxygen that you have at that altitude can decrease your performance of your eyes to where you may not be able to see as well and may not have as good color perception. So we encourage folks to utilize supplemental oxygen if they're flying in an unpressurized airplane, even those low of altitudes, just to get the better performance of their eyes.
Now, I have to say, I have pretty recently gone through this this little course here. And now, hypoxia symptoms, there's quite a range.
Oh, yes.
And they're physical as well as cognitive.
Yes.
And are they the same for everyone?
No, that's the thing. And that's why it's so important to go and do the training and feel it, is that it's not the same for everyone. And a lot of times when I teach a class, I'll ask people to tell me what they think hypoxia feels like. And at the end of the class, I'll ask them, do you feel that what you thought hypoxia was beforehand is what you experienced? And most of the time I'm getting people going, well, a little bit, but maybe some things were different. And for a small amount, it's like, wow, this was completely the opposite of what I was thinking I was going to get. I mean, it can be dizziness, lightheaded, warm flesh feeling, just tunnel vision can be a problem, or a visual problem, such as not being able to focus as well, changing from near to far vision back again, just little things, to having headaches. And even one of the worst symptoms that we can think about is euphoria, which is just a false sense of well-being. That's
so
what we really
painful.
Worry about.
So it's generally not a painful experience.
Well, actually, we hope it is. We hope that people get headaches or dizziness or nausea or something that does feel uncomfortable, because what those symptoms do is they trigger you to realize that something's wrong and you need to fix it. When you get something like euphoria, well, the sensation there is that everything's fine and I'm doing good and that there's nothing wrong. And if you go off that premise, well, you may actually not respond to the emergency. You may not realize it. And then, of course, you move over into unconsciousness eventually and you're not able to do anything.
Now, it's not just, it doesn't just vary from what I understand from person to person, but also within a person from maybe one year to the next.
Oh, is not that even year to year. It can be day to day. Say, for instance, that yesterday you were well hydrated, you'd eaten food, three meals a day, you had plenty of rest. You could go in an altitude chamber, and we traditionally go, we go up to 25,000 feet, which is where we do our hypoxia demonstrations, and your time of useful consciousness is 3 to 5 minutes. Well, what could end up happening is that tomorrow you may not have gotten enough sleep and you may not have been well hydrated. You might have skipped a meal, and your time of useful consciousness, because of physiology or physiological changes day for day, could even be lower or higher depending on the situation. So we tell people, you know, realistically, there's no gauge to work off of. You can't sit there and say, well, okay, 25,000, we can go 3 to 5 minutes off oxygen. It's as soon as you recognize the symptoms, you need to respond to those that situation. And the oxygen mask is obviously the corrective action for hypoxia.
Now, does this cost a pilot to come and go through this course?
We have two parts to our program of physiology. One part is doing it in Oklahoma City, which is an FAA facility, and there is no cost associated with that,
except for getting there.
But then the other one is our military bases. We have a contract agreement with the Air Force and the Army that their military bases will provide the same training. And in fact, they use our curriculum, so they're teaching exactly the same course.
I know there's one at Beale in Northern California.
Right, and there's even at Andrews over in Maryland, and Shaw down in South Carolina. And you got if you go to the website, the FAA website, and you just put physiology in there in the search engine, it'll take you right to where it shows about our program, and those cost $50, because what we're doing is basically they're charging us a contract fee per person, and we're not charging anything above that. So it's basically a free cost as far as the FAA is concerned. It's
right.
Just, you know, what the Air Force Army is costing us or charging us to do the course.
So if you can get to Oklahoma City, then you're good to go.
Absolutely.
And now, what do you need to do it? You just walk in? Do you have to have an examination before you go?
You do have to have a Class 3 or better FAA medical, because we want to put people in the altitude chamber who we know are not going to have any physiological or physical problems that may be exacerbated by the chamber. We wouldn't want to have somebody in there who, say, for instance, has a heart condition that we didn't know about. They go in the altitude chamber, and the altitude, reduction in pressure as you go up, causes some sort of physical problem for them.
So, of course, if you're cleared to fly, then
right. You're
cleared to experience this in a zero-knot environment.
Exactly.
Non-moving environment. So there's no real detriment to experiencing this and finding it out on
right.
the ground.
We want to make this as safe of an evolution as possible, in the fact that we want people to come there healthy. And even if you come there and turns out that they're not healthy for some reason, let's say, for instance, you have a little bit of a head cold coming on, we will still gladly do the class. We will just encourage the person, or basically tell them, we're not going to put you in the altitude chamber today because it's not safe for you, but you can come back within the next 2 months and just do the altitude chamber.
And they can still do the course and
do the
knowledge portion and watch through the window and make fun of all their friends that are going through
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We encourage everybody to make fun of all their friends, because, of course, they're doing the same thing. In our altitude chamber, we do have, as I mentioned, about 18 people in there at one time, and we don't have all of them going off oxygen at once. We would have, in a case of 18 people, 9 going off watching the other 9. So 9 people are off oxygen experiencing hypoxia, while the other 9 are observing or watching for the signs, because it can be just as important to recognize the signs of hypoxia as it can be to recognize the symptoms. I mean, symptoms being what I feel.
Crew resource management.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm sitting there in the airplane and I look over and you don't look good, then I might want to recognize the fact that what you're experiencing might be something I'm going to be experiencing pretty quick if somebody doesn't recognize the problem and fix it.
Right. And you do more than just hypoxia training. There's also some spatial disorientation involved in this. And from what I understand, water ditching is another course
that you
have.
Right. The spatial disorientation we do actually is part of the physiology course, just because we believe that there's a lot of spatial disorientation episodes that are occurring out there in general aviation, and probably also happening as well in commercial or corporate aviation. It's just more prevalent in smaller aircraft, less sophisticated and such, even some of those sophisticated. I mean, like a John Kennedy Jr. I was pretty sophisticated of an aircraft, and still spatial disorientation played a part in that. So what we do try to do is make sure that that's addressed there, and we have disorientation demonstrators that pilots can go into, that they can experience a couple of in-flight illusions, maybe have a better understanding of why they happened, what they can do to avoid the illusion, and maybe even what they can do to deal with the illusion more appropriately in their aircraft.
Well, we appreciate you coming in today, and thank you for all the information.
Oh, you're very welcome. Oh, and you asked about the survival course, which is actually a course that we do only in Oklahoma City, though. I just wanted to make that clear that that's something we don't have an agreement with the Air Force or Army that they can do. But we do that usually about once, maybe twice a month.
Fantastic.
And it's also not a cost to that.
Okay, so just get your plane tickets to Oak City, and you're good to go.
There you go.
We'll train you. Well, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome, Mal.
All righty. You are listening to EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and on the internet at airventure.org. This is Magneto Mel.